Lord, thank you for sending us Colin this morning. And Lord Jesus, we just really want to be listening to you in everything that Colin says, Lord. We want to hear you. And so, Father, I just pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts and just enable Colin and empower him this morning to speak to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, glory. Just like to get within spitting distance, Pete. Sorry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, if there's one thing I wanted to do this morning, really, it would be just to communicate the love of God to you. The love of a father for his children is just incredible. Those of you with kids know that. And it's so hard for us to grab hold of that with God and to really know it. So often it's hard for parents and kids to actually really grab hold of it and know it. But it's true. It's true. God's heart for each one of you. I know if God was to face each one of us this morning and speak directly into our heart and to look us in the eyes, his heart would melt. And he would be saying good things to us and promising us good things and promising us his help. God is in a good mood this morning. Bill Johnson says that. I think it's great. God is in a good mood. Some people think God doesn't have moods, doesn't change, therefore he doesn't have ups and downs. But that's ridiculous. The Bible's full of times when God is angry or pleased or upset. Now, I don't know why I brought my notes, because I got hijacked a bit in the prayer meeting this morning with you guys. I was going to talk about being seated with Christ in heavenly places. God's been speaking to me about that. I'll tell you a verse he shared with me for a few weeks in Isaiah chapter 40. We just read out some of Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. But we didn't read down as far as verse 9. That's Rachel made herself a business card when she was about 4 or 5. It says she's a young missionary. Rachel Eden Barnes, young missionary. Hallelujah. Spell MITIONRY. Great. Missionary. Lord Jesus. I love having that in my Bible. God said to me, get yourself up on a high mountain. For those of you who know me, that's not a surprise. That God has sent me to one of my favorite places. He says, get yourself up on a high mountain. O Zion, bearer of good news. You can put your name in there. O Colin, bearer of good news. O Linda, bearer of good news. O Anne, bearer of good news. O Paul, bearer of good news. Get yourself up on a high mountain. Anthea, get yourself up on a high mountain. O Anthea, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily. O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Bruce, lift up your voice mightily, bearer of good news. Nigel, lift up your voice mightily, bearer of good news. That's what we are, Steve, isn't it? Bearers of good news. Evangelists. That's got such a bad name in our day and age. But what it means is bearers of good news. And God is saying, lift up your voice mightily. Get yourself up in a high place. Don't hide away. Get up on top of the mountain. That's what he's been saying to me. And so I went away to get on top of a mountain. I went up to the Lake District. And God directed me supernaturally. He gave me a grid reference through a map that I had to a mountain which was called the High Seat. I couldn't believe it when I looked up the grid reference he gave me and it was called the High Seat. I thought, that's prophetic. That is prophetic. And he gave me a grid reference, E18. I woke up with it one morning, E18, the day I was about to go up to the Lake District, E18. I thought, E18? How many people wake up thinking E18? I never do that. And I thought, what is that? E18? Is that a new series? Or a new pop group? Yeah. And then immediately I thought, that's not a good reference. And then he showed me a picture of a map I had, a touring map. I thought, oh, maybe that touring map has different references. So I went down to look for it. And of course I didn't have it. I'd lent it out. So I got it back. And when I got it back and I looked up, and sure enough, it had the letters and numbers. So I thought, I'd put that down at church and I'll wait till after church to look at it. After church, it wasn't there. Someone had nicked it. Satan really didn't want me to go to E18. Sorry? Yeah, they tidied it. Because I'm always one of the last to leave. So they tidied it away and given it back to the person who brought it. Very helpful. And they'd very helpfully taken it back home with them. And so anyway, I had to go and get it. But when I looked it up, E18 was the high seat, high places. I knew I had to go there. And when I went up there, it was pouring with rain and there's gale force winds blowing. And I just left Maidenhead in beautiful sunshine. I thought, thanks God, that's a good place to go. Where the weather is really rough. I was laying in my bed at night. The tent was blowing flat onto my face. I had a little two-man tent. It was a toy Mickey Mouse tent I bought for Rachel down in the back garden. So it was my own fault. But anyway, I went up to E18. I nearly lost my boots on the way up because there'd been so much rain. The bowl was impassable. I actually lost my boot at one point. I thought I was about to be stuck there for a week. Reminded me of you, actually, John. And I remember laughing at you once when you lost your boots doing a walk in Devon. And I thought, yeah, getting my own back now. Now I know what it feels like. I don't laugh anymore, okay? I just want to minister to you now. I want to pray healing into that wound. So I had to skirt around this huge bog. Yeah. I had to skirt around this huge. I made up to the high seat and the wind was howling. I was almost blown off the top of this seat, this trig point. And I thought, I was praying and prophesying. I thought, God's going to meet me here. This profound thing going to happen. Fantastic. After directing me all that way, do you know what he said to me? Any guess? You might as well. No, do you know what he said to me? No guesses? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He could have said, why are you here? But he didn't say that, no. He said, the voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind. Terrific. There I was, being battered to death by this wind almost blowing me off the mountain. And he said to me, the voice of the Lord is not in the strong wind. Couldn't you have told me that back down in the tent when it was blowing a gale? Why did I have to go to the top of the mountain to hear that? Bizarre. Anyway, I packed down my tent and I was driving away saying, God, I hadn't really heard from you about what you wanted to speak to me about. And as I was driving out of the valleys of the Lake District with the hills in the background, I was just praying to God, and actually the still small voice spoke to me and I heard from God on the things I was asking him about. If I hadn't had the voice of the Lord not in the strong wind, I may not have taken the still small voice seriously, because obviously that's referring to a time when Elijah was on a mountain with God and God had said to him, the voice of the Lord is not in a strong wind, but was in a still small voice. But he took me to that high place. I was going to speak about high places. I was going to speak about being seated with Christ in heavenly places, because Paul tells us that's where we are. We're not in Marlow. We're not seated in Holy Trinity, so where we are, but you know, in the Spirit, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, I think, it says, even while we're still his enemies, you know, Christ died for us. And he was made, when we were dead in our sins, it says, we were made alive together. Oh, he's just trying to correct me. We were made alive together. We were raised up together. And we were seated together with Christ in heavenly places. The end of chapter 1 of Ephesians tells us where that is, doesn't it? Do you remember? It's in Maidenhead. No, okay. Sorry, I just thought I'll read it to you so you can remind yourselves. It says when he, from verse 20, it says, when he raised him, that's Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So that's where we're seated. I mean, do you really grab hold of that? I'm getting some blank looks. Do you really grab hold of that? That is our place. That is where we are seated. Just try and imagine it. Try and just imagine that is where you're at. On the throne of God. Sitting at the Father's right hand. Surrounded by countless billions of angels. The 6 billion soul of humanity. Far above all power, every title, every rule, every authority, every dominion. That is our place in Christ. If that doesn't take your breath away, you really haven't got it. Of course, it comes in the context of Paul praying for the Ephesians that they would know him better, that they would know God better. God says, prays for them, I pray that you'll be granted the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of God, that you might know him better. That's one of the best prayers you can pray for anybody. If you're always stuck to know what to pray for someone, you can always pray that prayer. It's the most fantastic prayer. Pray that they may know God better. Because it's those who know their God who do great things. If you know that God is love, if you know that he's gentle, if you know that he's humble, if you know that he's merciful, if you know that he's gracious, if you know that he's patient and long-suffering, you will do great things. And I wanted to talk about it this morning, but I felt like I should not. Because when we were praying, I really had a revelation that God wanted to do something in our midst this morning, in Marlow. And I think that verse from Isaiah, he's speaking to you. Get up on a high mountain. O Marlow River Church, bearer of good news. Get up on a high mountain. Shout mightily. Raise your voice mightily. What does that sound like, Alex? Eh? That sounds good to me. What would it sound like if we all raised our voices mightily? What would that sound like? Oh, River Church, bearer of good news. I really believe in the spirit, this is a time when God wants you to raise up, to raise yourselves up, to lift yourselves up, to go to a prominent place, to go to a visible place, to go to a high place. Not to be hiding away. And to raise a big shout and to make a big noise. We've never been more confident of the love of God as we are today. Yeah? Or is it just me? I've been in the church 20-odd years. I've never been as confident in the love of God as I am today. We have some amazingly wonderful news for people about their Father who loves them. We need to declare it loudly. God is looking for men and women who will go up on a high place and shout until they're hoarse. And when we were praying in the prayer meeting before, I just saw a picture of God actually physically lifting some of you guys to the high place. I saw you being raised, not in the spirit, because actually in the spirit you're already there, but actually having your eyes open to the point where you knew you were there and you were able to walk in it. What would God do with one person who was seated at the right hand, at his right hand, who knew they were seated at the right hand of God? What would God do with that person? But what would he do with six? And what could he do with 12? Maybe he could turn over the whole world empire in a few generations. Yes, how many people in this room? Honestly, I really believe that Marlo could be changed. What do you think? What do you think? As we were praying, I just felt that God wanted to change Marlo. This is the year of the breakthrough. You've heard us say this a number of times as a leadership team. It's a prophetic call that's coming to us. This is the year of the breakthrough. This is the year of the breakthrough. This is the year of the breakout. I sense it in my spirit. I can see it. What do you see? What do you see? Al's always asking us that question. What do you see? What do you see? When you look around this room, what do you see? I tell you what I see. I'm humbled when I look around this room because I see men and women are capable of changing the world. Really? Capable of changing the world. And I know that God wants to change Marlo through us. Or if you're not from Marlo, Steve, I know you're just visiting today. Wherever you live, God is wanting to change that area. God is wanting you to break out, to break through. The funny thing about that is that often the year of the breakthrough, the year of the breakout, looks no different from any other year. Until suddenly, something happens. Abby, do you believe that suddenly something can happen? You're not sure. Suddenly, it looks the same. The day looks the same as the yesterday, the day before that, and the day before that, and the week before that. And suddenly, there's a breakthrough. Suddenly, the dam cracks. When a dam cracks, it doesn't go slowly, it goes suddenly. When the Spirit comes, he doesn't come slowly, he comes suddenly. And I think there are things happening in the Spirit which are, cracks have appeared, and the kingdom of God is going to come suddenly. That's what I think. In Marlo, the kingdom of God is going to come suddenly. That's what I see. And I see the people here that could do it. But God needs bodies. Remember, we just read out that the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. Jesus needs bodies to demonstrate his love. He needs us. And he needs us to be intentional about that. And I just saw, as we were praying this morning, a group of people being lifted out of this congregation to that place, knowing they are seated at the right hand of God, and walking intentionally in that position. From this day, I saw them changing the way they live. I saw them making different decisions. Because let's face it, guys, life is complicated enough, isn't it? Life is busy enough. It's got enough to preoccupy us. Just getting the kids to school, just getting out to work, just keeping on top of the garden, whatever else we have to do, the business. You know, life is complicated enough without thinking about changing the world, isn't it? Just holding our families together, it's hard enough. And God says, go on, go and change Marlo. Oh, thanks. I'm having trouble changing that pyracantha bush. keeping it under control. You want me to go and change Marlo? But that is God's voice for you today. Go in the strength you have and change Marlo. It's what he said to Gideon. And God is looking for Gideons. That's the story he reminded me of. The Gideon story. God is looking for Gideons. Turn to Judges chapter 6 briefly. This was at a time when Israel was being plundered by the Midianites and the Amalekites. They would work really hard. They would sow and plant and reap and get all their produce from their hard work out of the fields. And the Midianites would come in, they'd ride in and just take it away. They'd just come and take it. All their hard work was being wasted. The enemy was just coming in and riding off with it. A bit like that film, The Magnificent Seven. That village of farmers. And God is looking for a group of people who are going to stand up and help that village defend its wealth. And I saw as we were praying, actually that's what happens in Marlow. We work hard. We get a little bit of a harvest. And the enemy comes in and rides off with it. And God says, no more. No more. Because I'm raising up some Gideons. Look. Verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. Shouldn't have read that. As his son, Gideon, was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. He was hiding away in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. It's not a good place to thresh wheat, a wine press. There's not enough breeze in it. But it was the best place for him because it was hidden. God doesn't want us to be hidden anymore, Jill. He wants you to get up on a high mountain. Not in a wine press. Get up on a high mountain. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Who laughed? Yeah. "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." John, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." You a valiant warrior? "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." We could say, oh, that's nice. That's nice for Gideon. But try and imagine what that feels like for you. I asked the young guys to come and listen to this because the word is for them as well. Gideon was just like you as a young man. He was threshing wheat in his father's wine press, still working for his dad. He wasn't old enough to have his own gaff. And God says, mighty warrior. And that's what God is calling you guys this morning. He's calling you mighty warriors. Mighty warriors. Nathan, you're a mighty warrior. God is calling you that this morning. A valiant warrior. Valiant, brave, even if you may be hiding. The Lord is with you. Isn't that nice? The Lord is with you. Who knows the Lord is with them? I just don't want your hand to go up just because it's the right, you want me to see it. I only want you to put your hand up if you really know that the Lord is with you. Really, really know that he's with you. Which when you know that, it changes everything. Nothing is impossible for those that God is with. Yeah? Nothing's impossible. Breakthrough is inevitable if God is with you. Because nothing can resist the love of God. We've just been singing about it. It never fails. It's the irresistible force. What does Gideon say? Oh, my Lord. If the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? Why are we still sitting in this small school hall if the Lord is with us? Why aren't we 10 times as big? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Where are those miracles that you've been praying for? Where are they? Now the Lord has abandoned us, he says at the end of verse 13, and given us into the hand of Midian. Is that true? Is that true? It's a mixed truth, isn't it? The enemy often does that. But the truth is, they'd abandoned God. God didn't abandon them. Sometimes we wonder why things aren't working out and why things are going so badly, because actually, we've walked away. Maybe we've never actually been with God in the first place. We wonder why life is so tough. But actually, we've walked away. Not God hasn't abandoned us, we've abandoned God. Then the Lord looked at him and said, go in this strength of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. What do you think, Beth? Go in this strength of yours. Which Beth? Yeah, there's a couple of Beths. Which one? Go in that strength of yours, both of you. Go in that strength of yours and deliver your generation. How's that feel? Big. Does it feel too big? Yeah. Probably. If it didn't, that means you're seated at the right hand of God. But when we look in the natural, if you look at the natural, how's Beth going to change a generation, Colin? That's stupid. But Beth can change a generation. Because God is with her. But Gideon wasn't convinced. He said, how can I save Israel? My family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. You're the youngest in Tim's house. You're the youngest in your... How can you save your generation? It's impossible. That's what he's saying. But God says, surely I will be with you. That's a promise for you this morning. That is a promise for you. Not just for you, but it's a promise for others. But it's also a promise for you, a very strong promise for you. Both of you, Beth. I will be with you. And you shall defeat Midian as one man. Then Gideon says, okay, if I found favor in your sight, then prove it to me. Show me a sign. That's okay. God doesn't mind that. He shows Gideon a sign with the fleece. In fact, he shows him a couple of times because once wasn't enough. God's okay about giving signs to us because he knows we're weak. But later on in verse 25, it says, now on the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah pole. Cut down the idols of your father, he says to him. That's the first thing I want you to do, Gideon, valiant warrior. Cut down the idols. Gideon sneaks there in the middle of the night and tears down some idols. He's petrified. He's still scared. But he's heard the voice of the Lord and he thinks, I'll try that. I won't let anybody know I've tried it. I'll do it in secret. I'm not getting up on a high mountain just yet. But I will step out of my comfort zone and try tearing down a few idols and see what happens. And I think God is asking you to do that in Marlow. If you're serious about wanting to see your town change, you have to tear down a few idols. What are they? What are the idols in Marlowe? Do you know? What are the things holding you back? For them, it was Baal worship. It was Asherah worship. What's holding you back, guys? What is it? What's either? Both. Greed, maybe, yeah. Self-sufficiency, definitely. Yeah. There's a kind of arrogance that comes with wealth. People think that they're okay. Actually, wealth is very dodgy to put your hope in, but people do put their hope in it. You need to discover what those idols are and tear a few down. Gideon's. Even if you have to do it in the dark, if you have to do it in secret, tear them down. Well, the prayer walking's great. I love it. Prayer walking's, you know, when we were prayer walking in Maidenhead, we covered all the town nearly twice. We saw more baptisms in that time than any other time. Was that a coincidence? I don't think so. The battle starts in the heavenlies. That's where it starts. It doesn't end there. It starts there. It's worked out here. But I want to just finish off by just looking at what happens to Gideon. In verse 34, well, first of all, verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves and crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Just like they always did. Just like yesterday. All the enemies came and camped, having a party, expecting another easy victory, expecting things to go on as they've always gone on in Marlowe. With the church being a little bit tolerated on the edge. But the fruit being robbed. But then suddenly there was a breakthrough. There was a breakout. And look what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. And the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. He got himself up on a high mountain. He blew a trumpet instead of shouting loudly. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh. And they were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, tribes of Israel. And they came to meet them. He stood up, and men and women gathered around him. He gathered an army around him, and he drove out the Midianites and the Amalekites. We haven't got time to read that this morning, but he drove them out. God gave them victory. And that's what I saw. That's what I saw in my spirit as we were praying before the meeting, which is why the talk has been different than I planned. Because that's what I saw. I saw God raising some people up to a place in Christ, seated next to him, who were living intentionally, who were tearing down idols, and who the Spirit of the Lord was coming upon, and they were changing this town. This is the year of the breakout. But I need Gideons to break out. That's what God is saying. I need Gideons to break out. I need men and women who are going to blow the trumpet. Who are going to start prayer walking. Who are going to start being intentional about proclaiming the good news. In many different ways. In loving people. Because that's what it's about. If you're proclaiming good news, you've got to be loving. You've got to love people. Intentionally. Knowing that you're seated at the right hand of God, knowing that actually God is going to give you the breakthrough and that his love never fails. But that's what I see. That's what I've just had to share with you. Get yourself up on a high mountain. Raise a mighty shout. Now, I don't know if God's been speaking to you, But if he has, let's just close our eyes a second. Because God is wanting to give you breakthrough today. If you know him or if you don't know him, the Father's heart is the same towards you. He wants to give you breakthrough. He wants you to break out. He's the master of breakthrough, which comes suddenly. Just when everything looks the same as it always did, it comes suddenly. But he needs men and women who are going to stand up and blow a trumpet, who are going to secretly destroy some idols. It's a year of breakthrough for you guys. It's a year of breakthrough for Marlo. I believe that. If you need a breakthrough in your home, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough in your marriage, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough with your children, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough with your business, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough with your neighbors, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough with a relationship, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough in hearing the voice of God, this is the year. If you need a breakthrough in actually just making a difference, this is the year. Because sometimes we work so hard, we feel like we're giving everything but not making any difference. The enemy's coming in and robbing away the fruit. God says, enough is enough and it's enough. This is the year. This is the year. So if you want to see breakthrough this morning, and I don't mean just because you feel like you ought to, but I mean really, if you are prepared to get yourself up on a high mountain, and if you are prepared to shout your voice hoarse, then I'd like you to stand. Only those that really mean it. Because you're going to live differently. It's not going to be the same as yesterday. Gideon didn't go back to threshing wheat in the wine press. Holy Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, Lord God, that you gave to Gideon, I pray now that would come upon these men and women. The same Spirit, Lord, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. Not a different spirit, Father. That same spirit of leadership. That same spirit of boldness. That same spirit of love for his people. That same spirit, Lord God, come upon this people. Come upon these men and women. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them know, Lord God, their position. Seated at your right hand. Let them know it, Father. Not in their heads, but in their hearts. Let them know it with all of their heart. And let them walk in it intentionally. When they're seated in the office, when they're on the phone, when they're chatting with neighbours, when they're in the shops, when they're in the park, wherever they be, wherever they are, Father, in this town, let them walk in that place. Walking in love, seated in Christ, anointed, Father, to make a difference. Because they're the head and not the tail. They are going to change this town. I prophesy it, Lord God. These men and women are going to change this town. They're going to destroy idols. The culture of this town is going to change because these people have committed themselves to changing it. There's going to be more love in Marlow than there was last year. There's going to be more grace in Marlow than there was last year. There's going to be more hope in the park than there was last year. Because the suddenly of God is coming this year. The breakout of God is coming. The breakthrough of God is coming in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, speak to these people now. Let them know, Lord God, what they need to change. Let them know what idols you're calling them to destroy. What patterns of behavior they need to change in order to get on that high mountain and shout. But above all, Father, fill them with your Spirit. I'm so grateful we don't live in the age like Gideon lived in, when your spirit just came on the odd person here and there. We live in the age when your spirit is poured out on all flesh because of the work of Jesus Christ. The way to you is open. Oh, Lord God, pour out your spirit on this flesh today, we pray. Come, anoint these people for breakout. Anoint them. Valiant warriors, go in this strength of yours and deliver Marlo. Go in this strength of yours and love Marlo. Go in this strength of yours and bring Marlo out of darkness into light. Go in this strength of yours and help them to drink deeply of the water of life. Go in this strength of yours and heal them. Go in this strength of yours and deliver them. Go in this strength of yours and set them free from lies they've believed all their lives. Go in this strength of yours, set them free from depression. Go in this strength of yours, fill them with hope, fill them with life, fill them with love. Set them free. For your God is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. Oh, Jesus. And all the people said, Amen! I want you to shout it. If you mean it, I want you to shout it. Amen! Amen. Louder. Amen. Amen! Louder. Amen! 1, 2, 3. Amen! Amen.
Thank you, Andy.